Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti. Today I'm in Rome, where director John Waltz and actor who plays Spider-Man Tom Holland are here to present Spider-Man Homecoming in the theaters right now. Tom, in which way is your Spider-Man different from the previous ones, and what did you put about yourself into this character?
For me, the biggest challenge was making this character as unique and different as possible. You know, I didn't want audiences to go to the cinema and see a film that they feel like they've already seen. Yeah. And I know that's something that John was very adamant about doing, you know. So for me, obviously, bringing the character back to high school, really trying to ground him in reality, and watch a movie about a kid. I really asked myself the question of what would happen if a 15-year-old got superpowers, yeah. And I really think he would have the time of his life. So you really get to see Spider-Man enjoying being Spider-Man, because I often find in superhero movies, you know, the superpowers come as a burden, but not so much for Peter Parker in this one yet.
The feeling about the Vulture is that he's a working-class villain fighting against capitalism, represented by Tony Stark, Iron Man. What do you think, John?
That's a great question. For me, what I wanted to do, where if we think about Spider-Man as being sort of the ground level superhero, I wanted to see if I could create a ground level supervillain. I wanted to see if we, on one hand, were showing what would happen if a regular kid got amazing superpowers. What would it look like if a regular guy became a villain? So that was really the jumping off point for me. For the creation of the Vulture.
Would you tell us more about the fact that in the beginning is Peter Parker himself to shoot at to direct his own videos with the phone camera?
It's supposed to be Peter's perspective on all the crazy events of Civil War, and I don't want to give away any secrets about what we do with that, but I always just thought it would be interesting. In the comics, Peter is a photographer, so he's always photographing everything, and now today, everyone, I think, is a photographer and is always photographing and filming everything. So it's really fun to use that as a way to show a completely different perspective on this crazy universe.
Tom, did you record it yourself?
Yes, I did, yeah. It was funny. It was my favorite part of filming because I was the director. I just had to shut myself in a room, film myself on this little camera, and then I would call cut, and then John and the team would come in, and we'd all sit around and watch it on this little camera, and then John would give me notes, and then I would do it again.
Did the fact that Michael Keaton had been Batman and then Birdman influence your choice of casting him as the Vulture? And for Tom, how was to work with Robert Downey Jr. and Michael Keaton?
That's a great question. I wouldn't say that him playing Birdman directly contributed to us wanting to cast him. It's Michael Keaton, so he's amazing. I'd want to cast him because he's the best. But he is this amazing kind of actor that brings all of that gravity of every role that he's ever played to his performance. Like, I couldn't help but stand there and just be like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to Beetlejuice. Yeah, I think he also just thought it was fun that he's been Batman, Birdman, and now the Vulture. I think there's something fun about that.
For me, I have been a fan of Marvel movies my whole life. So the fact that I got to, you know, not only meet Iron Man, but work with him, the man himself, was just a dream come true. And the fact that Robert, you know, was willing to show up and do this movie with us and to really bring a different level of humor to this movie, for me, was such an honor, and I learned so much from working with him. Michael Keaton is terrifying. He is like one of the nicest guys. He shows up to set, he's so much fun, but as soon as he switches on, I was like, take it easy, bro, take it easy. Cut it. Hang on a minute. But he's amazing, and I think fans are going to love him in the movie.
Tom, we heard that your first meeting with Robert Downey Jr. wasn't exactly with him. Is that right?
Yeah, so I showed up to my screen test in Atlanta, and I had been told only 20 minutes before my audition that I'd be doing my audition with Robert Downey Jr., so immediately the level of stress went from like 100 to a billion, and I walk into this room, I see Robert Downey Jr., I go and introduce myself, and I'm freaking out, right? I'm sort of really geeking out, I'm being very, very uncool, and then I realize that Robert Downey Jr. then walks in. And I realized I'd been talking to his stunt double the whole time. So I got my sort of geeky fanboy thing out of the way with his double, and then finally got to meet him afterwards, yeah.
In terms of acrobatic scenes, was it more difficult to play Spider-Man or Billy Elliot?
I'd have to say that Billy Elliot was harder. You know, I was training for 2 years to learn that show. I was only like 10 at the time, so probably not as physically capable as I am now. But no, the Billy Elliot training for me has been the most useful lesson and tool I've had throughout my whole career. It's helped me on every job I've ever had. You know, physicality is a large part of creating a character, and if you're able to have control over your body, then it's a huge help. But for me, just the fact that I could do a backflip was my sort of golden ticket to becoming Spider-Man, I think.
Tom, how did you feel to wear the Spider-Man costume for the first time? And what would you do if you had Spider-Man powers?
The first time I ever tried on the Spider-Man costume was very, very disappointing. I had been cast in Civil War and flew to Atlanta on Friday, and I was going to start shooting on Monday. And those suits typically take 10 to 15 weeks to make, so they didn't have time to make me my own one. So basically what I was going to do was wear my stunt double's one, who'd already been filming, and they would just tailor it to me. But he happened to be quite a lot bigger than I was. So basically when I tried it on, it was all baggy and saggy, and it wasn't a very heroic-looking Spider-Man costume. So it wasn't until we did Spider-Man Homecoming that I really had a suit that fit me. But when I tried that on, it was incredible. You know, this has been a dream of mine since I was a kid. I've been playing Spider-Man in my bedroom since I was 5, so it was really a dream come true to wear that costume.
Since there's as much of a cinecomic in the film as there is of a teen movie, John, how did you work on balancing these two genres, these two elements, and how did you work on integrating these two elements into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yeah, whenever I would go and see Marvel movies, just before any of this happened, I loved them, and whenever I'd watch them, I'd always think, what's like to be a regular guy in that world? Like, what's it like for just all the normal people who live in New York when the Avengers are, like, fighting aliens and things like that? So I was always fascinated in that perspective. And when I got this job, that gave me an opportunity to explore that in a very specific way, to make a movie through the eyes of a 15-year-old kid who's grown up in this crazy universe that Marvel has been building, you know? Spider-Man was probably like 8 years old watching TV when Tony Stark told the world that he was Iron Man, and that's a really fascinating thing to think about when you're telling the story. So I used that as the entry point to telling the story, and then that sort of lent itself to starting with a small focused character-based film that could then escalate and become something really epic.
We should do a short film. A flashback of Peter Parker watching the news at 8, like watching
eating
the
a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
How was approaching the Spider-Man myth?
I think of it again. You know, I use Spider-Man as the entry point, being the regular guy, just the kid. He's different from the other heroes in that he didn't ask for his powers. It happened to him by accident, and he's really just doing his best to get by and to try and make the right decisions. And I think that's one of the things that makes Spider-Man really just the most relatable of all of the characters too, is that there's something about him that you recognize, where nothing ever quite goes perfectly. You know, you're just trying to do your best to get by. And another fascinating thing that's a little is different in the Marvel Universe now is he's one of the few characters, if not the only character right now, that has secret identity. So that's a really fun thing to explore, and sort of, you know, in this Marvel universe, now being able to bring him back into the world of all the other characters, it feels like he's back where he's supposed to be.
Tom, what does it mean for you to enter the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I mean, this job has completely flipped my life upside down, you know. When I saw the first Avengers movie, I knew that I wanted to be a part of the MCU. I knew I wanted to be a superhero, but I never knew that I would be Spider-Man in the MCU. So the fact that I'm here today promoting my very own Spider-Man movie, but not just a Spider-Man movie, a Spider-Man movie that exists yeah. in the world of the Avengers is so exciting to me and far beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so glad that Marvel and Sony were brave enough to put this responsibility on a 20-year-old's shoulders. But I can't wait to keep playing this character. I absolutely love working with John, working with Marvel, working with Sony, and I'm really looking forward to keeping it up.
In an interview, I heard that the way you got to know you got the part was really particular. Would you tell us more?
Yes, I had been auditioning for 5.5 to 6 yeah. months, and I'd done 8 auditions in total. And after my last audition, I was told by Marvel that tomorrow would be the day that you find out yeah. if you're Spider-Man or not. Fast forward 6 weeks down the line, you know, I'm scrolling through Instagram on my bed and Marvel posted a picture of Spider-Man saying, go to our website and you can find out who the new Spider-Man is. So I went to the Marvel website and there was this article about Spider-Man, and about halfway down it said Tom Holland will be your new Spider-Man. And I went absolutely ballistic. I was jumping up and down, screaming and shouting. My poor dog on my bed had no idea what was going on. And then I ran downstairs to tell everyone, and my little brother Harry, who is here somewhere today, he said, no, dude, they've been hacked. There's no way. They would call you. They would call you. There's no way they would just put it on Instagram. So then I started to think that, oh, maybe they have been hacked. So I called up my agent, and then Kevin Feige actually rang me, and he told me, he was like, I've got some great news. I want you to know you're going to be Spider-Man. I was like, Kevin, I know. You put it on Instagram. I'm 20. You didn't think I was going to find that? So it was a crazy day. Crazy way to find out. It's been a good story, though.
Tom, how much did dancing help with playing Spider-Man?
On the dancing front, you know, dancing can prepare you for loads of things, but, you know, dropping 30 feet on a wire isn't something that you can really get used to. There was one stunt where there's a large section of the movie which we called the Washington Monument sequence, and I had wrapped. My day was over. They sent me to my trailer to get ready to go home. And just as I was getting undressed, I ate 2 burgers because I hadn't eaten all day. I had 2 chicken burgers, and then the crew, the AD came in and said, I'm sorry, we've made a mistake. We need you to come back to set. It's like, okay. So I put my costume back on. I put the Spider-Man costume back on. And I have to put this thing called a jerk vest on, which is like a Kevlar sort of harness. And you tighten it up really tight. And I could feel these chicken burgers sort of edging their way up through my chest. And I basically had to sit on the edge of this ledge. And then they would just pull me off. Pull me like head first off. And the further and further I went like this, the more and more I could feel these chicken burgers sort of making their way to the top. And when you're in this, you didn't know this? And when you're in the Spider-Man costume, you're like this, right? So if you threw up, you would like drown. That's what was going through my head anyway. So
that's
yeah,
so
that,
gross.
I was so scared that that was going to be it for me, that they were going to wrap me for good that day.
Sorry.
How is it to have your own action figure?
It's very strange. I grew up with Spider-Man action figures. I had so many action figures. I had the Tobey Maguire one at one point, but it's so weird that now I have my own one. You have to go through this whole process of approving it and giving notes on what it looks like and stuff, and it's been a really fun process. And, you know, I had the original Funko Pop Spider-Man bobblehead, and now I have my own Spider-Man bobblehead. So it's kind of crazy. It's a little nuts, but it's definitely something very cool.
Remember the first version of your face?
Oh my God.
It looks so weird.
They sent... I was going to post that the other day, but then they got really mad. I basically was sent the first version of what they wanted the toy to look like, and it looks nothing like me, but just enough like me to almost be a little insulting.
To be weird.
Yeah. But no, so we didn't approve that one, and then they released a better one.
It's a very strange process.
Yeah.
John, how is it to make a Spider-Man, a film about Spider-Man that doesn't start with his genesis as a superhero?
Well, we've seen that, you know. Everyone knows that part of the story. I have been playing Spider-Man in my bedroom since I was 5, so I feel like I'm very well-versed in the character. For me, it was a continuation from Civil War, and I had such a positive response from the fans in Civil War. I knew all I had to do was just do that, but for 90 days in a row rather than 5 days in a row. But when you see the movie, the origin story isn't missed at all. You don't miss it. You know, there's little hints to the origin story, but it's not something that you'll miss when you see the movie.
Thank you, John Watts and Tom Holland, director and actor of Spider-Man Homecoming. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from Rome for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.